Today we talk about hard attitudes towards spiritual warfare. So today is the last sermon on this whole topic. We started in September. Can't believe that it's already been nearly 3 months. But the main point, I said this every week, Jesus and Satan have different plans for our lives. And our actions either strengthen Jesus or strengthen Satan as they fight over our lives and over our eternal destiny. The good news is Satan lost his power. Jesus on the cross, after his resurrection, he said that all authority has been given unto him. Satan has been disarmed. He cannot harm us any longer. The only thing that he can do now, he can lie to us, he can tempt us, and he can try to distract us with worldly things so that we lose our focus and don't spend our time focusing on Jesus. Then we talked about the practical topics. Satan tries to steal our time. We looked at this topic in general, but we also looked at this topic specifically with our smartphones, because Satan is putting so much stuff in there so that we waste our time. He's trying to steal our time. We looked at our emotions. God has emotions. Emotions in themselves are not good or bad. Emotions just are. But emotions don't always tell us the truth. Emotions try to tell us to do something or not to do something, but that is not always what God wants us to do. And so instead of doing and listening to what our emotions are trying to tell us, we should bring our emotions to God. We should bring our emotions to God in prayer and allow Him to either change our emotions or speak to us what He truly wants us to do. And of course, in the end, we need to act on what God says, not acting on what our emotions are trying to tell us. Then last week we talked about conviction versus condemnation. Whenever we sin, we will hear two voices. We will hear the voice of conviction, and that comes from Jesus, and we will hear the voice of condemnation that comes from Satan. Conviction is for us, condemnation is against us. And we need to be able to discern. I gave us a list of different elements, how we can try to discern between the two, what the difference is. And we have to then make the conscious decision to reject the voice of condemnation, but at the same time listen to the voice of conviction from Jesus. So now today, we will conclude this whole series by looking at hard attitudes towards spiritual warfare. My original plan was that I finish the series with the sermon on the armor of God, but, well, Claire already did that on our weekend together, so I'm not going to repeat that or do that a second time. So we'll close it today by looking at hard attitudes that we should have when it comes to spiritual warfare. Let's talk about the physical world for a moment. Thankfully, I've never been part of war. But I do know people who have been. Shanghai, I met several people who were in tribal wars and these kind of things. We also had the refugees from the Ukraine here for a while. And we kind of saw firsthand what it means, or at least secondhand, what it means when the father was here for a while. And then one Sunday he came to us and he said, "Tomorrow I'm going back to Mariupol, one of the craziest cities over there, and going back there to fight." So that's the closest I ever got to actual physical war. I don't know about your life experience, but I do know it can be very traumatizing. Of course, we see the horrors of the Ukraine war on TV. More recently, we saw the terrible things happening in the war in Israel that is going on right now. So we all know war in the physical realm is very, very scary. Spiritual warfare is not pleasant either. It's annoying. It's frustrating. It's unpleasant. And when we go through these kind of temptations from Satan or when he's trying to discourage us, of course, sometimes we feel like, I just want to get rid of it. I just want to get over it and Satan leave me alone. And that's kind of our human emotions that we have. But there are two significant differences between physical war and the spiritual war we are in. The first difference is Jesus already won. Think about the wars that are happening in the world right now. We really don't know how these wars are going to end. We don't know which side is going to win. We don't know how long the war is still going to take. We don't know what the outcome will be. We don't know what the terms will be when there will be some form of peace treaty eventually. We don't know what kind of terms they will agree on and which side will then have major losses or if it's kind of the status quo. We don't know if one country has to give up some territory and pass it to the other country. In war between two countries, there are always a lot of uncertainties. There's always this fear that you say, my side might lose if you live there. And there's always this uncertainty, even if I don't get killed, but what's going to happen at the end of the war? Will my country still exist? Will I become part of the other country? And these kind of things. But when it comes to spiritual warfare, it's a total different story. We are not dealing with these kind of uncertainties. We are not dealing with this kind of, well, I don't know how it's all going to end. Jesus already won. Satan has already been disarmed. Satan cannot do anything any longer against the will of God. He can only operate within the boundaries that God is giving him. We know that Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. We know that Satan cannot win any longer. And that should give us hope. When we are facing spiritual warfare, when we are facing temptations, when we are facing struggles, we will be tempted to see them like physical war. And we will be tempted to think like, okay, Satan might harm me. Satan might reach his goal. Satan might do things with me that I don't like. Satan might win in the end. But rather than focusing on Satan's power, we should focus on Jesus' victory. When we face attacks by Satan, we shouldn't focus on the attack. We should focus on the cross. We should focus on the empty tomb. We should focus on the fact that all authority has been given unto Jesus already. We should focus on the fact that Jesus died for my sins, that there is no condemnation any longer. We should focus on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, that he conquered the grave. We should focus on the fact that the Father has given all authority unto Jesus and that Satan has been completely disarmed. Colossians 2, verses 13 to 15. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That should be our focus. And that should be our attitude when we are facing spiritual attacks. I'm on the winning side. Not because of what I've done, not because I'm so powerful, not because of I'm so good, but because Jesus has already gained the victory and he is sharing his victory. He's allowing me to live in his victory. So we should shift our focus. Not so much, oh, what is Satan trying to do to me today? Instead, let's focus on Jesus is for me. Jesus loves me, Jesus is near me, Jesus protects me, Jesus guides me, Jesus enables me, Jesus provides for me. He is my victory, no matter what Satan does, because Satan will never be able to win against Jesus. And the second difference, of course, when we compare physical and spiritual warfare, we have hope. Yes, Satan can make trouble in this life. And yes, sometimes he can even think of Job. Sometimes he might inflict us with something. And yes, he can do harm to us to some extent if Jesus allows. He can try to harm our mind, our bodies, our possessions. And if Jesus allows it, yeah, it might happen. But there's one thing Satan cannot harm. He cannot harm our souls. He cannot harm the part that we are taking into eternity. He can harm our bodies, maybe, but never our souls. He can create temporary havoc in this life, but he cannot create eternal damage. He does not have that authority. We will one day enter God's kingdom, not because of our own strength, but because of Jesus' sacrifice. All we have to do is believe it. Our part is only faith. Jesus has already done the rest. And we will rule and reign together with Christ in eternity. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't be afraid of Satan. Don't focus on Satan. Focus on Jesus, focus on his victory, and focus on the hope that we have. Soon, all this is over. All these struggles, all this pain, all this spiritual warfare, it will end, and we have hope that we are on the winning side, and we will be victorious, and Satan will be completely removed from us. He's already defeated, but once we enter God's kingdom, he will be completely removed from us, and he will not be able to have any influence in our lives ever again. So, focus on these two aspects. Don't be afraid of Satan. Instead, focus on Jesus already won, and we have hope that this life will end one day. Next attitude we should have when it comes to spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual battle and not a physical. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Where? In heavenly places. Confession for me, I so often try to fight spiritual battles in my own strength. I so much try to be a better person. I so much try in my own strength to resist temptations and these kind of things. Does it work? No. Why not? Because physical strength will never be able to conquer spiritual powers. We are fighting spiritual powers. And what do we need to use to fight against spiritual powers? Spiritual weapons. Sometimes we think, okay, I'm under spiritual attack. I need to be more self-controlled. I need to be better. I need more power. I need to perform better. I need to be more wise. I need to be more discerning. And if we try it that way, we will never succeed. Imagine you're in a car race, and what do you use? You're using a bicycle. Will you ever win a car race on a bicycle? Of course not. You have no chance of winning such a race. Why? Because cars are just too powerful. They are more powerful physically than we are in our own strength. If you want to win in a car race, use a car. Don't use a bike. If you want to win a spiritual battle, don't use your own strength. Don't use your own wisdom. Don't use worldly powers. Use spiritual weapons. And what are these weapons? Well, Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thus with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What spiritual battles, what spiritual weapons do we have? Prayer. The only way to win against Satan's temptations, to win against his attacks, is to be diligent in our prayers. Praying for ourselves, praying for each other, praying for our church, praying for society. We need to constantly pray to win the spiritual battle we are in. Don't wait to be under attack and be like, okay, I'm fine today, so I don't pray. And oh, tomorrow, now I'm under spiritual attack. Now it's time to pray. That's the wrong attitude. Pray always. Pray every day. Pray in all circumstances. Pray always and be alert, driving the devil away from us, rather than waiting for him to attack us and then praying to defend us. Did you ever notice in the armor of God which body part is not protected? The back has no protection. We have a shield, we have a breastplate, we have a helmet, we have shoes, we have all kinds of things. We have no protection for our back. Why is that? Because we are not running away, we are moving forward. And when we pray, we are moving forward in our spiritual battle. So don't wait to be attacked, don't wait until the battle is hot to pray against spiritual attacks. Pray always. Move forward in our spiritual fight. And once again, of course, we need to know who we are praying to. Have you ever met people who were basically praying to Satan? Spiritual warfare, and what do they do? They always say, devil, stop doing this. Devil, leave me. Devil, stop attacking that person. All these things. Well, it might not be wrong necessarily, but who are we really praying to? We're praying to Jesus. And we are praying to Jesus to fight the battle. So rather than addressing Satan in our prayers, we should address Jesus for Jesus to deliver us from Satan's power. For Jesus to deliver us from Satan's attacks. For Jesus to protect us from Satan reaching us. That's a way more effective prayer than trying to address Satan himself. So pray always and pray to Jesus. Rest in his power, rest in his victory, rest in his promises. And ask Jesus to win the battle for us. The next attitude we should have in spiritual warfare, the Bible actually says, count it joy. James 1, verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Where do temptations come from? From Satan, of course. That's part of spiritual warfare. And what should our attitude be when we have these kind of trials, when we have these kind of temptations? We should count it joy. Very different from how we see warfare. Physical warfare, of course, I'm not saying, hey, there's a physical war, great, let's rejoice. I'm not saying this. But here's a major difference. Because we are already on the winning side, we can count it joy. Why? Because God will bring something good out of Satan's attacks. Peter said the same thing, 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, since you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached with the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but in your part, he is glorified. God is sovereign, God is in control, and when God allows you and me to go through spiritual battles, through attacks by Satan, God has a plan, and he wants to bring something good out of Satan's attacks. Famous verse, you probably all know it, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God is always at work. He's always working for our good. He is sovereign. He is not surprised by what Satan does. And so when God allows Satan to attack you, to do something in your life, he wants to produce something good in you. He wants to create something in you, in your life, that will make a difference in eternity, a positive difference. Think about David and Bathsheba. David was tempted by Satan to commit sexual immorality with another man's wife. He gave in, slept with Bathsheba, she got pregnant, so he killed her husband to marry her. Pretty horrible what he did. And I'm not in any way defending his actions. But David, Bathsheba, their son, Solomon. Let's go down a few generations. Who was a descendant of David and Bathsheba? Jesus himself. Now, I'm not defending what David did. He had committed a horrible sin, and he had to deal with all kinds of consequences and all kinds of things that happened. But even in the midst of such a horrible sin, God had a plan. And God said, through this sin, I will bring my Savior into this world. God will do the same in you, in me as well. I'm not justifying sin, and I'm not saying just sin and God will turn it around and all is good. That is very bad theology. So I'm not defending sin and I'm not justifying sin. But what I am saying is, when Satan tempts you, God wants to grow something in you. Maybe kindness, maybe patience, maybe love, I don't know. But he wants to grow something in you through the spiritual attack that you're going through. And even if we give in, even if we sin, God is still sovereign to bring something good out of it. The key is, of course, genuine repentance. The key is, of course, that we confess our sin and that we say, okay, what I did was wrong. And I'm sorry, God, for what I did, and please help me to never do these things again. I'm not saying that we don't need to repent anymore. But what I am saying is, if we do fall into temptation, if we do fall into sin, and we wholeheartedly repent, God still can bring something good out of it. Next attitude we should have, God will always provide a way out. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. We have to engage in spiritual warfare from the point of victory. Real life experiment. It's not exactly the same. It's a little bit related. People did a marketplace study, and they basically gave the same project to two people group. One people group, highly intelligent, did very well so far, and I don't know exactly, I would guess kind of like A students, something like that, that you would really say these are completely suitable for this job and they are totally prepared to do this. The other group of people, the opposite. People who were not successful, their grades were not good, who did not have a great record so far. And they gave these two groups exactly the same assignment. The surprising thing was that this group of the people who did not have a good reputation, who did not have good grades and stuff so far, they won. And they outperformed those A students. There was one more twist to this whole thing. This group of the A students were people who had no self-confidence. And this group of people who had the bad grades and the bad reputation, they had high self-confidence. And they got the job done. What am I trying to say with this? We will be able to achieve what we believe we can achieve. And we will fail in the things we think we will fail in. Our mindset, our attitude really matters. And going back to this marketplace example, the most important thing is not our grades or our experience or something. The most important thing is whether we believe we can get the job done. What does this have to do with spiritual warfare? Our attitude, whether we believe that we can overcome temptations, will determine whether we will do it in the end. If our attitude is, oh, this is my weakness, or I can't do this, I fell in this temptation many times before, and I don't know how to overcome it, and I'm just too weak, I can't. We will fall into the temptation. And we will give in to that same temptation over and over and over again, simply because we believe that we can't overcome it. On the other hand, if we have that confidence and that trust and that faith in Jesus to say, no more. I know I fell 10 times before, but I know Jesus will help me, Jesus will overcome, Jesus will strengthen me. It will be different in the future, in Jesus' name. If we truly believe that, we will also be able to overcome the temptations. Our mindset matters. Our faith matters. If we feel like, okay, Satan is too strong for me, Satan has gotten me so many times before, Satan's temptations, I can't deal with them anyways, we will fall. And if our faith tells us, I will overcome this temptation in Jesus' name, I will not fall again, Jesus will help me, then we will be able to overcome and we will win. So the way we think, the way we approach temptations, the way we approach Satan's attacks really matters. Our faith matters. Whether we approach it from the point of victory or whether we approach it from the point of defeat. But of course, we need to be very careful that we rely on Jesus and not our own strength. I'm not one of those people who says, okay, just be self-confident. Self-confidence is not really a biblical word. We need to be confident in Jesus living in us and not in ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, therefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. The moment I think, I got this, I'm strong enough, I won this battle, at that moment we are going to fall. The moment we have confidence in ourselves, the moment we think, I'm strong enough, I can handle this, that's the moment Satan will come to you. That's the moment Satan will come to me, because he knows that's the moment of weakness. Why? The moment we think we are strong enough, we just stop relying on Jesus. The moment we stop relying on Jesus, we let down our guards. And the moment we don't rely on Jesus, we have nothing left to resist Satan. Satan is stronger than you are. Satan is stronger than I am. Jesus can live in me and defeat Satan. But I, by myself, without Jesus, I will lose to Satan every single time. Satan is trying to get us to rely on ourselves, because then we will fail. So we need to trust and believe that Jesus will provide a way out, and we need to stop relying on our own strength and think that we are strong enough by ourselves. Rely on Jesus. Don't think that we can stand by ourselves. We can't. Lastly, we need to rely on God's way and not our own. Story in the Old Testament, it's not directly related to spiritual warfare, but the principle is the same. Israel was in battle against the Philistines, 1 Samuel 4, verses 1 to 2, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and encamped beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines encamped in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was defeated before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. So, Israel was in war, physical war here. They got defeated. Philistines overcame them. Obviously, they started asking questions. What went wrong? Why did we get defeated? We are God's people. Why did God allow this? And then they had a great idea. 1 Samuel 4, verse 3, and when the people were come unto the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it comes among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Let me put that in our language. We tried it in our way. We tried to fight the battle in our own strength. It didn't work. Let's try again, but this time, let's bring God on the battle as well. Sounds like a good plan, except that it didn't work. Verse 10, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and they fled every man unto his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. Way more Israelites died in the second battle. What was their problem? They didn't rely on God's instructions. They didn't ask God what to do. They simply thought, we know how to do this. All we need is God's power. And God was like, if you see me just as the power, if you want me to just bless whatever you are doing, that's not going to work. And as a result, they lost the battle. Coming back to spiritual warfare, asking God to help us succeed in our own way will not work. God might be merciful on us. God might still bring something good out of it. God might still teach us somehow and help us grow. But we can't simply go to God and say, God, I have a good idea. Now you bless it and you make me successful. That's not going to work. We need to go to God and ask for His ways and His instructions and what He wants us to do. Then we will be successful. When we face Satan's temptations, we have two options how we can respond. We can do what we think is right. We can try to use our own wisdom, our own ideas, our own way of overcoming temptations. And then we can say, okay, God, now help me in my way. Or we can rely on God's instructions and we can ask God, God, what do you want me to do in order to be victorious in this battle? And maybe He gives us instructions that are contrary, that are opposed, or that are different from what we expected. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so we cannot simply say, okay, God, I'm facing temptation, I'm facing a spiritual struggle here right now. Now please help me succeed in my way. It's not going to work. Relying on ourselves will not work. Relying on our own strength and our own wisdom will not work. And God never promised to bless us in our ways. Instead, let's bring our temptations to Jesus. Let's ask Jesus, how do you want me to deal with it? What do you want me to do in this situation so that you will gain the victory in the end? Very different approach and a far more successful one. With that being said, let's wrap up this series. We looked at this area of spiritual warfare a lot over the last 3 months. Spiritual warfare is real. Satan is real. We need to be aware of him. We need to be aware of the goals that he has. We need to be aware of the tactics that he's trying to use to harm us. So he is real. We have to be aware of him. But we don't have to be afraid of him. He is disarmed. He cannot harm our souls any longer. Jesus is in control. All authority has been given unto Jesus. Jesus loves us. Jesus protects us. Jesus is for us. Jesus already gained the whole victory for us through his death and resurrection. So, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be uncertain about the future. We don't have to be uncertain about the outcome. We can be confident in Jesus. We can draw near to him, and we can find everything we need in Jesus himself. We can rest in his victory. We can rest in his promises. We can rest in his presence. And as we do that, we will see him fight the good fight for us. We will see him gain the victory for us and for his glory. We have to do our part, come to him, seek him, and hear from him what he wants to say to us. But in the end, it's Jesus fighting for us, and he will win every battle for us. Jesus has won. We can rest in his promises. And when we see the victory, we can give him the glory he deserves. May we pray. Jesus, you've already done everything. Thank you for the hope that we can have now, the confidence that we can have. Thank you for the assurance, the promises that we have, that in you we don't have to fear Satan any longer. Thank you that you already protected our souls eternally, and Satan cannot harm our souls any longer. Thank you that you're with us, and thank you that you're fighting for us each day. Lord, we pray that you will help us to pray and to really take this to heart, that the only way to win this battle is to be diligent in prayer. Help us to do our part. Help us to listen. Help us to bring our temptations, our struggles, and all these things. Help us to bring them to you. And help us, Lord, to know that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And yet you have all authority. And all we have to do is trust you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. We love you. And we give you all glory for the victories that you have already gained in the past. We give you glory for the things, for the struggles we are going through right now, knowing that you will be victorious. And we give you glory, Lord, for our future, knowing that we will win every battle in the name of Jesus. Amen. Take a moment and just listen to God.